We are in the 16th lesson of the book of Deuteronomy, and we are at chapter 27. I will hope you will open your Bible and join us as and read along and take notes. And of course, the notes and also the videos are available at jimhastings.org, and you can go there and see all those videos if you wish. And the printed notes are actually there for the entire class, where you could read along and also study at a later date. Well, as chapter 27 opens, we come to Moses' summary of the blessings and the curses that must be declared to the ears of the nation of Israel once it's on the other side of the Jordan River. And with that, Moses gives instructions for the preparation for this celebration ceremony service that has to take place, and he does so by calling the elders to help him charge the people to do this ceremony. And he begins with the instructions concerning the setting of the stones on Mount Ebal. There in chapter 27, I want you to read along with me here in verse 1. Then Moses and the elders of Israel charged the people, saying, "Keep all the commandments which I command you today, so it shall be on the day when you cross the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God gives you, that you shall set up for yourself large stones, and coat them with lime, and write on them all the words of this law. When you cross over, so that you may enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you, so it shall be when you cross the Jordan, you shall set up on Mount Ebal these stones as I am commanding you today, and you shall coat them with lime." Now, I've got a picture up here on the board I want to show you. When you cross over the Jordan River and you come to the town of Shechem, and as you're looking from the Jordan River over across the town of Shechem, to the left-hand side is Mount Gerizim, and that's what this mountain is, and to the right-hand side is Mount Ebal. And here on the right-hand side, on Mount Ebal, the Lord is telling them to take and to build a monument with these large natural stones. And the task will not be difficult. Mount Ebal is naturally covered with large stones. And even though they were uncut, the stones were to be painted with lime. Now, the lime coating was not a new concept for the Jews. Back in Egypt, it had long been used long before the Israelites went into Egypt. The coating of lime coating included water and salt and lime. And so the coating was painted on the mud bricks back in Egypt to protect them from the erosion by the rains and by the winds to make them last longer. So the coating would erode, but at a much slower pace. Is what these bricks are going to erode, and the coating is going to erode, but it's going to erode slowly. So the coating would last for about 5 years and then need to be reapplied. Well, this same lime plaster coating that we're talking about was found in a house on a wall on the east side of the Jordan River near the intersection where the Jordan River and the Jacob River comes into the Jordan River. And in that eroding plaster, a partial record of the story of Balaam's interaction with Israel is found written on that wall. And we know that the story of Balaam and the speaking donkey is true because it was found written on that wall. And it goes back, dates pretty much close to the time of the time of Balaam cursing, being hired to go and curse Israel. Now, the lime coating on the stones provided a soft surface where the words of this law that needs to be written down on them could be written onto those stones before that mixture, that lime coating, would dry completely. And of course, if they made a mistake, they could put a little lime on it, a little more coating on it, and wait and continue on with the writing. So, in addition to the placement of these stones, the stone monument up on Mount Ebal, that is engraved with the words of this, the law that Moses is telling them, Moses instructed the people to build this altar up there on Mount Ebal. And that occurs in verse 5. So we've got a stone monument, and now we're going to have an altar also. Moreover, you shall build there an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not wield an iron tool on them. You shall build the altar of the Lord your God of uncut stones, and you shall offer it on it burnt offerings to the Lord your God, and you shall sacrifice peace offerings and eat there and rejoice before the Lord your God. You shall write on the stones all the words of this law very distinctly. Well, today at the top of Mount Ebal, there remains a pagan altar that's built there, that's still standing there. Now, no doubt, years after the nation of Israel took the promised land, the pagan altar was built atop of that original altar that Israel built. And so that original one we cannot identify. But that pagan altar is there. And be that as it may, once Israel crosses the Jordan River and builds the altar, the nation was to celebrate with burnt offerings. Now, we know all we need to know about burnt offerings because that came in chapter 1 of verse Leviticus. That's exactly how the offerings were to be made. No changes, no differences. It was the order of the Lord. It was the law. Now, the details of this offering, of course, is over in Leviticus. Now, however, chapter 1. However, here we come to a lack of knowledge. We must ask questions. Where's the tabernacle? You know, they've been carrying the tabernacle with them. They're going to cross over the Jordan River with the tabernacle when they get there. Where's the brazen altar? Where's the basin of water which the burnt offerings need to be washed in? So, over in the book of Joshua, which is where we're headed next after we finish Deuteronomy, we're going to learn that the tabernacle complex will be carried across the Jordan River in the hands of those Kohaths, the Levites. And indeed, it will be carried to the base of Mount Ebal and to Mount Gerizim, and it will be set up there for this celebration. Therefore, the procedures of the burnt offerings will occur in the tabernacle complex down in the Shechem area or here in the valley, just as it always would be. And it will be done there just like it was instructed when they were back in the wilderness. However, when it comes to offering those offerings, instead of offering them up on the brazen altar, they're going to be taken up on Mount Ebal to the stone altar that is there, and that's where those priests are going to burn those offerings to ashes. And of course, in a burnt offering, the hides of the animals will be given to the priest as required. So the sacrifice of peace offering is asked for also, and that's going to be made up on Mount Ebal too. Now, the sacrifice of peace offering was detailed back in Leviticus chapter 3. So the offering surely began there at the tabernacle complex, and the offering was placed, the offering, once everything was prepared down there, the offering was taken up and placed not on the brazen altar, but placed upon that stone altar up on Mount Ebal, just as the Lord instructed. Now, the sacrifice of peace offering was a voluntary offering. It was not required. So it's a thank you offering. So the Lord was willing to let the individuals in the group or the group of people make these offerings for thanking Him for what they've done in bringing them across the Jordan and all of that. So in that offering, that sacrifice of peace offering, the fat of with the entrails, the two kidneys, the loins, the lobe and of the liver were all placed upon the altar and they were burnt to ashes. The hide would be given, of course, to the priest. And the rest of the animal of the peace offerings would be cooked nearby and be eaten by the priest and by the people. The sacrifice of peace offerings, the meat could be cooked and served to the people who were bringing them or the people who were around. So the sacrifice of peace offering that day needed to be large enough to feed all the men and their family that had crossed over the west side of the Jordan River. Now, I'm going to tell you, it is really and truly impossible to estimate how many people were there on that other side of the Jordan River for the celebration. You say, well, wait a minute. Of course, didn't the whole nation go across? No, the whole nation did not go across. When this celebration occurs, the men of Reuben, the men of Manasseh, and the men of Gad will be there at that celebration there on that west side of the Jordan River, but they have left their families, their wives, and their children on the east side of the Jordan River to live in those cities that they had taken when they destroyed the Amorites, the King Sihon and King Gog, and they had many cities, and that's where those families were going to stay. But the men had to go fight across on the west side of the Jordan River until the land was taken, and then they would go back to their wives and children back on the east side. So shortly before we will discover that the men at the mount on that day will be about 611,630 souls, not including women and children. What a staggering number. So in other words, the sacrifice of peace offerings that are going to feed the people there are going to be large in number. So this altar is probably a very big altar. But once they alter the fats and everything, we see it's still a lot of animal fat, loins, kidneys, and all that are being put on this altar. The rest of the meat is being cooked around in the camp somewhere where they are and will feed everyone. Okay, so then the people heard Moses and the charge to the Levites. Now, it's really the charge to the Kohath part of the Levites. Remember, the small group of Levites who actually get to handle the tabernacle and sacrifice and everything are called Kohaths. That's a small group. There's several groups in the Levite clans, and the Kohath group is the group that gets to make this charge to the people. And we start to see that in verse 9. Then Moses and the Levitical priest spoke to all Israel, saying, "Be silent and listen, O Israel. This day you have become a people for the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the Lord your God and do His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today." Well, the essence of this charge is very simple. It can be boiled down to simply these words. You shall therefore obey the Lord your God and do His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today. That's what you boil it down to. So Moses then brought the charge to the people, and he designated those who are going to stand on Mount Gerizim at the celebration. Moses also charged the people on that day, saying, "Now when you cross the Jordan, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people: Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin." So here we are on Mount Gerizim, and as you see here, I've got the names. It's going to be the tribes of the men of the tribes of Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. Now I want to make a point here so that everybody remembers it. Joseph's tribe is actually divided between two tribes, the tribe of Manasseh and the tribe of Ephraim. So the men of the tribe of Manasseh and Ephraim, those two sons, will be the ones that are representing Joseph on that mountain. Now, to estimate the number of men who will be standing there on Mount Gerizim, we only need to look back into Numbers chapter 26. And there we find the last census of the men who would cross over the Jordan River. Now, looking at that text, we discover that the men standing on Mount Gerizim will be approximately 303,700 men. And these men will bless the people. 303,700 men. There we go. 303,700 men, 20 years of age and over, who will be standing there to issue the blessings to the people. Moses also names, in verse 13, the men who are going to be standing on Mount Ebal, verse 13. For the curse, these shall stand on Mount Ebal: Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. So here they are. So we've got six on one side, six on the other. Now back in Numbers 26, it tells us that about 307,930 men will stand there on Mount Ebal. So here's that number. We'll put it right here. 307,930. Boy, we've got lots of people, because this totals up to that 611,000 that we were talking about that will have to be fed, but also their families are with them. Their women, their wives, and their children, all going to have to be fed. Now, to make sure the program takes place precisely as required, Moses is not going to leave anything to chance, neither does the Lord. Moses dictates the declaration for the celebration, beginning with an instruction. And we see that instruction there in verse 14. The Levites shall then answer and say to all the men of Israel with a loud voice. Now, we see the word answer there, and really means that they're going to say something first, and then all the people are going to reply. So let us set the scene here that is going to occur when this nation arrives over at these two mountains. Here they are at Shechem. By the way, this is the plot of land that Jacob had purchased many, many years before, or more than 430 years, and he still owned the title deed to it. He had bought it from Shechem, and he owned it. Now, this is the area of Shechem. So the descendants of the six tribes here who are going to stand on Mount Gerizim, and the descendants of the other six tribes are going to stand on Mount Ebal, and a group of Levites are going to stand right there in the middle. They are the Aaron's sons, and the group of Levites are going to be the Kohaths. Now, how do we know that? Because they're the priest, it said. It told us they were the priest. Now, the rest of the Levites are going to stand over here on Mount Gerizim. So it's only going to be the sons of Aaron, because only the sons of Aaron that are priests are the Kohath section, because Kohath was grandfather of Jacob, and that's how comes down through the line. Okay, I mean, grandfather of Aaron, I should say, and that's how it comes through the line. The priestly line are the Kohaths that come through Aaron. So the curses are a warning, and I want you to understand that. And they're going to come right out of the laws found in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and thus far in Deuteronomy. So the curses are a short summary of the laws concerning idols, concerning parents, concerning boundaries, concerning stumbling blocks, concerning justice, concerning morality with parents, concerning animals and siblings and in-laws and neighbors and others. In fact, it concerns the whole law. In fact, you should have recognized some of those words that I was using, because those have been titles of things that we've already studied about. And so after each curse, when the Levites, the priests, the Aaron's sons, now remember, Aaron is dead now. These are his sons, two sons plus the rest of the Kohaths that are there that could be priests, going to be standing there. After they say this curse, all the people of the nation of Israel on both sides, from both sides, are going to reply with one word, and the word is Amen. So concerning idols, in verse 15, the priests say this, and we're going to go through this pretty quickly, so just hang on. Cursed is the man who makes an idol or a molten image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people answered and say, Amen. Concerning parents, verse 16, cursed is he who dishonors his father and mother. And all the people say, Amen. Verse 17, the boundaries. Cursed is he who moves his neighbor's boundary marks. And all the people say, Amen. Concerning stumbling blocks, verse 18, cursed is he who misleads a blind person on the road. And all the people say, Amen. Concerning justice, verse 19, cursed is he who distorts the justice due an alien, an orphan, and a widow. And all the people say, Amen. Concerning morality, we start with parents, verse 20, cursed is he who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's skirt. And all the people say, Amen. With animals, in verse 21, the morality with animals. Cursed is he who lies with an animal. And all the people say, Amen. Concerning morality with siblings, verse 22, cursed is he who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or of his mother. And all the people say, Amen. Concerning in-laws, verse 23, cursed is he who lies with his mother-in-law. And all the people say, Amen. Concerning neighbors, verse 24, cursed is he who strikes his neighbor in secret. And all the people say, Amen. Concerning others, cursed is he who accepts a bribe to strike down an innocent person. And all the people say, Amen. Concerning laws, verse 26, cursed is he who does not confirm the word of this law by doing them. And all the people say, Amen. Well, with that declaration of the celebration set for the people, when they get there, see, Moses just telling them what to say when they get there. The nation will reach Mount Gerizim and they'll reach Mount Ebal, and Moses gives the reason for saying these things, these curses and everything, in this passage. And the point that Moses stresses here is the height of the elevation of Israel and how high they can become as a people if they remain faithful to the Lord. That's how it is. They're going to be cursed if they break it, His laws. But if they want to be faithful to the Lord in chapter 28, verse 1, says this, "Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God." Next, the Lord in that, talking about how high and how great and how esteemed the nation is going to become, Moses talks about the nation of Israel's surroundings. So in her surroundings, Moses says in verse 3, "Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the country." He also speaks about her lives. In her lives, Moses says in verse 4, "Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beast, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock." Now Moses speaks of her produce in verse 5. "Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl." Then he speaks of her travels in verse 6. "Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out." And then the blessing Moses addresses the blessing against the enemies, the blessing for Israel against the enemies, and how futile their attempts will be to try to attack a faithful Israel in verse 7 Moses says this, "The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and will flee before you seven ways." Think about that. Here they will come, and they will come to try to attack. And when they attack, they will be so dismayed at what happens, they won't come in one way and go out one way or march to the city. They'll come and try to attack, and when they try to get away from attacking, they'll just go in seven different ways. Moses talks about the exertion of Israel. How much will Israel be required to work? Moses speaks of the exertion of Israel in verse 8 when he says, "The Lord will command the blessings upon you and your barns, and in all that you put your hand to, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you." He's promising that the work will not be hard, and He will do most of it. He'll work it. Then we come to the establishment of Israel, specifically here in verse 9 with the people. Verse 9, the establishment of Israel with people. "The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, as He swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways, so all the people of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you." All the people of the world will be afraid of Israel as long as they are faithful to the Lord God. Then he speaks of the prosperity of Israel. In verse 11, "The Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your beast, and in the produce of your ground, and in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you." Then he talks about the product of being a faithful nation of Israel. In verse 12, he says, "The Lord will open for you His good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations." Oh, but you shall not borrow. Then the esteem of Israel, Moses speaks about in verse 13. "The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you only will be above, and you will not be underneath, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully, and do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them." Well, there we have it. And then Moses turns right around and he gives a caution about this celebration. And here's the caution. Here's the caution. There's going to be a curse on the nation of Israel if they are disobedient. And that's the purpose of this celebration. Now, folks, even though this celebration should be uplifting, the rest of this message is not very uplifting, because Moses is going to tell what's going to happen to Israel. First, when Israel is disobedient, there in verse 15. "But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God to observe, to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." The curses will overtake the unfaithful Israel in its surroundings, in its produce, in its lives, in its travel, in its exertion, in its health, in its environment, in its war, in its death, its sore, its thinking, its marriage, its livestock, its children, its labor, its body, its government, its reputation, its needs, its esteem, and its prosperity. All of those will be cursed. Folks, if you're cursed in all those things, you're cursed by God, and you're going to starve. And you're going to have a hard time. Moses says, you're going to have these curses in your surroundings. Moses says in verse 16, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed you shall be in the country. Now her produce. Verse 17, cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. 18, cursed in her lives. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Cursed. Cursed in her travels. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed you shall be when you go out. In her exertion, verse 20, the Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, and rebuke in all you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. In her health, Moses speaks in verse 21, the Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from the land where you are entering to possess it. The Lord will smite you with consumption and with fear and with inflammation and with fiery heat and with the sword and with the blight and with mildew, and they will pursue you until you perish. In her environment, Moses says in verse 23 how they'll be cursed. The heaven which is over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you iron. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. In her war she'll be cursed. The Lord shall cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will go out one way against them, and you will flee seven ways before them, and you will be an example of terror to all the kingdoms of the earth. In her death, they'll be cursed if they're unfaithful. Verse 26, your carcasses will be food to all birds of the sky and to the beasts of the earth, and there will be no one to frighten them away. In her sore, she will be cursed. Verse 27, the Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors and with the scabs and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. In her thinking, she will be cursed. The Lord will smite you with madness and with blindness and with bewilderment of heart, and you will grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness, and you will not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. In her marriage, Moses says how they'll be cursed. Verse 30, you shall betroth the wife, but another man will violate her. You shall build a house, but you will not live in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you shall not use its fruit. And Israel's livestock will be cursed. Verse 31, your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you will not eat of it. Your donkey will be torn away from you and will not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you will have none to save you. With her children, the curse comes in verse 32. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people while your eyes look on and yearn for them continually, but there will be nothing you can do. In Israel's labors, in verse 33, a people whom you do not know shall eat up the produce of your ground and all your labors, and you will never be anything but oppressed and crushed continually. You shall be driven mad by the sight of what you see. In her body, the nation of Israel, the Lord will strike you on your knees and legs with sore boils from which you cannot be healed, the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. In her government, the curse, verse 36, the Lord will bring you and your king, whom you will set over you, to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. In her reputation, most they're going to be cursed. Verse 37, you shall become a horror, a proverb, and a taunt among all the people where the Lord drives you. In her needs, they'll be cursed. Verse 38, you shall bring out much seed to the field, but you will gather little, for the locusts will consume it. You shall plant and cultivate vineyards, but you will neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm will devour them. You shall have olive trees throughout the territory, but you will not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olives will drop off. You shall have sons and daughters, but they will not be yours, for they will go into captivity. The cricket shall possess all your trees and the produce of your ground. In her esteem, Moses says the curse will be this: the alien who is among you shall rise above you higher and higher, but you will go down lower and lower. In Israel's prosperity, in verse 44, Moses says, he shall lend to you, but you will not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you will be the tail. Think of that list. That list was basically the blessings turned around backwards, saying all the blessings will be turned around backwards on you if you are not faithful, faithful to the Scriptures, faithful to the commands of the Lord. Looking ahead into the Scriptures, as we get to have this, because we've got our entire Bible and we can read on in the Scriptures. We can read on in the story of Israel. And we are going to see at the death of King Solomon, a division of that nation, a nation of Israel is going to be, the nation of Israel is going to be divided into two kingdoms. It's going to be the northern kingdom, and it will quickly be cursed by all that Moses has just prophesied. And then the southern kingdom will follow after the destruction of the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom is going to be destroyed and taken off into exile, and the southern kingdom is going to pick up where they left off, and they will be destroyed and taken off into exile because of these curses. And what will be the cause of the fulfillment of this prophetic word that Moses has just said? The reason and the cause is disobedience. Well, so the cause of Israel's disobedience is because they have not listened to the commands. Verse 45, they've not listened to the commands. So all these curses shall come on you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping His commandments and His statutes which He commanded you. They shall become a sign and a wonder on you and your descendants forever. So it was a disobedience of the commands, but it's also a disobedience in their service. Verse 47. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and with a glad heart for the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in lack of things. And He will put an iron yoke on your neck until He has destroyed you. But it's also, one of the consequences of Israel's disobedience is found in verse 49, because the Lord is going to dispatch a nation from afar to come and overtake the nation of Israel. Verse 49, the Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as the eagle swoops down, a nation whose language you shall not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, who will have no respect for the old, nor show favor to the young. This dispatched neighbor will come to the replenished storehouse of Israel, and they will take that food and eat it. Verse 51, moreover, it shall eat the offspring of your herd and the produce of your ground until you are destroyed, who also leaves you no grain, no wine or oil, nor the increase of your herd or the young of your flock until they have caused you to perish. Then we come to the besiege of this far nation. on unfaithful Israel there in the promised land, the besiege of the nation. Verse 52, it shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted come down throughout your land. And it shall besiege you in all your towns throughout your lands which the Lord your God has given you. Then we come to the despair of the nation of Israel. There's going to be a change in the nation's thinking, in their despair. In verse 53, and that change of thinking is cannibalism. Verse 53, then you shall eat the offspring of your own body, the flesh of your sons and of your daughters whom the Lord your God has given you during the siege and the distress by which your enemy will oppress you. There's going to be a change in the man's thinking towards cannibalism. Verse 54, the man who is refined and very delicate among you shall be hostile towards his brother, and toward the wife he cherishes, and toward the rest of his children who remain, so that he will not give even one of them any of the flesh of his children, which he will eat, since he has nothing else left. During the siege and the distress by which your enemy will oppress you in all your towns. Then there'll be a change in the woman's thinking. Cannibalism. Verse 56. The refined and delicate woman among you who would not venture to set the sole of her feet on the ground for delicateness and refinement shall be hostile toward the husband she cherishes and toward the son and daughter and toward her afterbirth which issues from between her legs and toward her children whom she bears, for she will eat them secretly for lack of anything else. During the siege and the distress by which your enemy will oppress you in your towns. The fulfillment of this despair on the nation of Israel begins when the northern kingdom, capital of Samaria, falls to the Assyrians, as found in 1 Kings 6, verses 24 through 32. And I'm going to give you a short truncated synopsis of the scripture. So I'm going to take out some of the scripture, put some dots so that you just hear a little of it. Here's what happens there. Now it came about after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. As the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, help my lord, O king. And the king said to her, what is the matter with you? And she answered, this woman said to me, give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, The same occurred with the fall of the southern kingdom in the capital of Jerusalem. We find that over in Ezekiel chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. And it says the following. And because of all your abominations, I will do among you what I have not done, and the like of which I will never do again. Therefore, fathers will eat their sons among you, and sons will eat their fathers. For I will execute judgment on you and scatter all your remnant to every wind. Jeremiah will record this cannibalism after the fall of Jerusalem twice in the book of Lamentations, in chapter 2, verse 20, and in chapter 4, verse 10. The first, 2 verse 20, he says, see, O Lord, and look, with whom have you dealt thus? Should women eat their offspring? Chapter 4, verse 10. The hands of compassionate women boiled their own children. They became food for them because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. So the conclusion of Israel's disobedience, we come to Israel must face the Lord's directive. And what they must face is the plagues that are written in this book. Verse 58. If you are not careful to observe all the words of this law, which are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues, and miserable and chronic sicknesses. There'll also will be the plagues that are not written in this book until the nation of Israel is destroyed. Verse 60. He will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they will cling to you. Also every sickness and every plague which, not written in the book of this law, the Lord will bring on you until you are destroyed. In other words, we don't even know some of the plagues that the Lord will bring on the nation of Israel when they are unfaithful to Him. Israel will be depleted. Verse 62. Then you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as numerous as the stars of heaven, because you did not obey the Lord your God. Israel must face also the Lord's delight. And you would think that would be a good thing. But I don't think it's a good thing to face the Lord's delight when you've been unfaithful. Verse 63. It shall come about that as the Lord delighted over you to prosper you and to multiply you, so the Lord will delight over you to make you perish and destroy you, and you will be torn from the land where you are entering to possess it. Israel must face the Lord's decision to take away her home if they're unfaithful. Verse 64 says this, Moreover, the Lord will scatter you among the peoples from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone, which you and your fathers have not known. The Lord will also take away the rest of Israel. Take away the rest, the time to quiet and rest before going on. Israel must face that. Verse 65. Among those nations you will find no rest, and there will be no resting place for the sole of your foot. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing of eyes, and despair of your soul. All we have to do is look back to the time of Hitler and the Holocaust and the Jewish people who were just there because of their unfaithfulness. He's also going to take away their assurance in verse 66. So your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you will be in dread night and day, and shall have no assurance of your life. In the morning you shall say, Would that it were evening. And at evening you shall say, Would that it were morning, because of the dread of your heart, which you dread, and for the sight of your eyes, which you will see. The Lord will also take away Israel's freedom if they are disobedient. Verse 68. The Lord will bring you back to Egypt in ships by the way about which I spoke to you. You will never see it again. And there you will offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer. By 586 BC, all of Israel will be unfaithful. The northern kingdom's been gone since 722 BC. The southern kingdom is taken out in 586 BC. And all the curses that have been listed here in this message of today, and all of Moses' prophecies that have talked about the curses are going to happen and the blessings. Oh, they had the blessings for a while, but then the curses came on them. The proof of that is all found in the history books and also in the prophecy books of the Bible that is yet to be written and yet to be told throughout the next centuries. Moses will now summarize something for us, though. He's already told us these curses, and I can take you to those books and the rest of the Bible, and I can show you where Israel is going to break every law and experience every curse. But now, Moses will summarize the covenant that he is giving there at Moab. It's one of his last duties, and it's his departing blessings. He's going to talk about the covenant at Moab, which is no new covenant at all. And he's going to give these departing blessings. He's going to write a song, by the way, that he's going to give to the nation of Israel, which is nothing but pure prophecy. And Joshua is going to write down that summary of Moses' death. And they're going to put it in this book called Deuteronomy that we have. And they're going to give it to the Levites, and the Levites are going to save it in the Ark of the Covenant. And once every 7 years, they're going to pull it out, and they're going to read it to all the nation. But every year, there's a new king comes on board once Saul comes. One of the first tasks that Saul's was to take and to write down this law, word for word, his own copy. When David became king, he was to do the same thing. When Solomon became king, he was to do the same thing, and on the rest of the kings. But we're going to pick up the summary of the covenant that's given at Moab and some of Moses' last duties, including the song, in the next lesson. May the Lord bless the teaching of this word today. And may the Lord bless the hearing in the ears of all who have listened. And may our Holy Spirit be our teacher. In your name. Amen and amen.